Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Eagle's Eye Report. Today's episode for November 15th, 2023. And it's a fine Wednesday where I am. The sun is shining. It's about 65 degrees, which is not too bad for the middle of November. This show, as is always, is sponsored by TLBTalk.com. Come and say what needs to be said. The show is hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLB, and co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who I will bring into the discussion in a few moments. Again, the title of today's show, and well, not again. This is the first time I've told you today, but I have said the title of the show over and over and over again, just a different title. So the title for today's show is The Dangerous State of American Governance. Let me say that again. The Dangerous State of American Governance. Yeah. And I won't get into that too deep because that's what the show is for. Let me get through this intro. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. Don't even push back against that, because if you know about the Twitter files, if you know about the Facebook files, if you know about, if you know about, if you know about, then there is absolutely nothing to push back on that statement, is there? Nothing. Yeah. This show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio. Our thanks to Annie, who has been a good friend of mine for well over a decade, and also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. I'm going to talk to you about this real quick. I do it every week. I think it's worth it. You want to keep these platforms online. You like them. You like the shows they put out. You want to keep them online. I know that there are a bunch of you out there who occasionally, probably more than occasionally, send in a donation or put a donation in the donation button. Okay, that's fine. Want to know how to help them even more? And you don't necessarily even have to put any more funds in. Take what you donate to these organizations, each one individually, add it up over the course of the year, divide it by 12, and the next time you go in there, put that number in there, whether it's $5, $10, $7, whatever it is, and click the button that says, make this a monthly reoccurring donation. Why? Because you've given them a little bit of certainty. They know that each month that $7 or $8 is going to come in. And with enough people doing that, what that gives them is a baseline budget. And as that baseline budget grows, it gives them the ability to give you bigger, better, badder, faster. So I'm not asking you to give them more, although that would be nice and they would appreciate it if you can find it in your heart. What I am asking you to do is average out what you normally donate to them, divide it by 12, and make that a monthly donation to allow them to know for sure what they can do to give you an even better channel. Okay, so, Stephen, I ask you this every week. What if I got that wrong?
Well, you haven't, but when you happened to mention what the temperature was outside in your area, I had to check mine because I was outside doing some tree trimming, some limbs and stuff, and it was 65 degrees. The sun was out. It felt very, very good.
And you're quite a bit north of me, so that's
quite a bit. Yeah, about 750 miles north of you.
Yeah, at least, because I'm in the hills of Arkansas. So, I mean, you know, that's quite a bit south of where you are.
Yes, it is.
But having lived in the area you live in, only I was in your arch rival's backyard. I was an Ohioan. I lived right outside of Cleveland, Lorain, Ohio, right on Lake Erie.
Well, I've got for the third week of November, actually, it's just stunning out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And for anybody who doesn't know this, the last show in this month and the first show in next month will be shows that are choreographed and set up by Stephen. He's my co-host. He hardly ever says anything. So I figured if I just told him, look, why don't you control those two shows, the topics, the talking points whatsoever, and then maybe the audience will know who you are, actually. I'm joking. But for anybody, again, who didn't hear the whole story on that, the last show in November and the first show in December will be shows that Stephen will bring to us, and I will participate as, you know, basically somebody who's going to answer questions and talk basically like Stephen would do if he did talk more, if you talked more, Stephen. And how are you today?
Pretty good. A little tired. I mean, a little had some brain fog yesterday, but that's gone today. Just tired.
Good. You're lucky. I've been living in a brain fog all my life. But then that's an excuse that's worn out a long time ago, too. All right. Our mission is to keep you armed with vital truths, as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital issues without fear of censorship or exclusion. That being the sponsor of this show, TLBTalk.com. Again, a link, and I say this every week, a link to any references for this show presentation will be included in tomorrow's show article published on thelibertybeacon.com by noon Central Time. That's every Thursday. And that will also include any links to pertinent data points, articles, or references used in this show. So you'll always know where Roger gets the ammunition that he, puts across very brazenly. So let's get down to business. Again, the title of the show today is The Dangerous State of American Governance. I'm almost 70 years old. I'm a little over a half a year away from being 70 years old. Now stop and think about what I just said, okay? I have never seen the chaos. I have never seen the distrust in government. I have never seen, and I could go on and on, that I am seeing today. And not only from when I was younger, but remember, I spent 30 years traveling this planet. And it's not just the United States. Canada's going through hell right now. Australia's going through hell right now. New Zealand's going through hell right now. Maybe not those, I don't know, those traitors or those tyranny spreaders at the top of their government, but the people of those countries, the people of America. We are all going through hell right now. But this is the worst I have ever seen it. And I have been telling everybody for at least a dozen years that this was coming. When you intend to sway the actions or reactions of 8 billion people, you don't do it in a week. You don't do it in a month. You don't do it in a year. This takes a minimum of a decade or longer. Okay? At least that long. And in some cases, several generations, which is what we're looking at here. The USA is now ruled, not governed, by the most corrupt and treasonous pack of tyrants in modern history. I don't say that lightly. I don't want to say that at all. I'm an American. But take a look at the corruption coming out of Washington. Take a look at the corruption of those sitting in the White House. It's on a level that has the entire world laughing at us. But if I say this is the worst it has been in modern history, people push back against that. And the fact of it is, this tyranny, this treason, it isn't even very hard to prove. Unless you're a Democratic politician or a moron. And no, I'm not joking, and no, I'm not apologizing. Or a uniparty member, or a rhino. And we'll be getting into that a little bit deeper too. With a president that is known to be compromised by what could very easily turn out to be our enemies in any military conflict, being, I don't know, oligarchs within northern European Union, Russia itself, China itself. These are the people right now. These are the people that our president is compromise to. Are you kidding me? But I'm not. How the hell can this be ignored? How can it be ignored when we know for a fact it exists? But it's still being ignored. Why? Because Joe Bob is president of the United States for a reason. Because they needed him there to accomplish what you see going on all around you. And that is the world crashing and burning. Not a guess, not a joke. Yeah.
Hey, Roger.
Yes.
I caught this video a couple hours ago on TikTok But have you heard that Joe Bob wants the FCC to vote on tougher restrictions for the internet?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And it even gets worse than that, but that's another show. Actually, I'm going to do an entire show on censorship and proposed censorship. And that may be something that you could delve into with me, because I think between the two of us, that would be a hell of a show. But, and thank you. But let me continue with this. And as I said, with a president that is known to be compromised by what could easily, very easily, turn out to be our enemies in a military conflict, how the hell can this be ignored? Unless this is the intended path for America's ultimate failure. With a uniparty, Republicans and Democrats following the same path regardless of the wants and needs of their constituents. Controlling the slow walking of tyranny into our faces, the uniparty. And when I say uniparty, that's because it consists of both Democrats and Republicans, or basically what we would call rhinos, if you're talking Republicans. And so if all of this is happening right in front of our face, if all of this is happening so that we can actually see it and pick it out, who do we have left to rely on? Who the hell can we rely on? No single non-presidential politician can change this country. It takes a majority. It takes an active committee. It takes a congressional vote. It takes a senatorial vote. No single non-presidential politician can change this. Can they make a big dent? Yeah. Can they change it? No. So when you have what you suspect is a conservative party and a liberal party, and when you suspect that that conservative party is fighting for you and what you and the rest of the conservatives, you know, America needs to go back to reclaim our liberty and our freedoms, is not happening. This is what Roger's talking about when he says rhinos or the uniparty. This is a marriage of the tyrants from both parties that are owned by the deep state and the elites to make sure that you and I don't get what we want, but they get what they need. Again, no single non-presidential politician can change this country. So we need to work with groups. We need to work with the power structure. If you're conservative, you need to support conservative. This isn't the world we live in today, people. Our government is also printing and spending money like it's free. We're $34 trillion in debt, and some economists truly believe is that America is already very near the point, or at the point of no return, where only a total monetary reset could possibly be the result. We are so far in debt that the chances of repaying that money have fallen off a cliff. This would be a total wrecking ball as the biggest and most powerful nation to ever become a failed nation. Are you listening to me? Anybody out there who doubts me, go to your search engine when this show is over and put in, how close is America to defaulting? I'm going to tell you something I said on another show. I'll say it here and now. I'm going to tell you that if Joe Bob wins another 4 years, okay, if he does, or they steal, I should say that because that's the truth. If they steal another 4 years for Joe Bob, then you are looking at close to a $50 trillion debt before he gets out of office, in which case they're saying we're already at or damn close to a default button. By the time Joe Bob gets out of office, there won't be a doubt if he gets reelected. Not a joke. Our political system is shifting further away from serving we the people and closer, in many cases it's already there, to serving a globalist caste and themselves, the politicians. And their constituents be damned, and they will be sooner or later. We are looking at how many of your congressmen or your senators depend on AIPAC money from Israel to get reelected. How many of them depend on money from Big Pharma to get reelected? How many of them depend on money from Big Tech to get reelected? How many? And they will do what those who will ensure their reelection by filling their coffers with more money than the person they're running against, if they do what they're told, when they're told to do it. So all of you scratching your head saying, that's not the person I sent to Washington, you're absolutely right, unless he's been reelected. Because the first time you sent him there, he may have had some pure thoughts. But after one or two reelections, whereby all the big money that I just mentioned globally steps up to ensure that this guy is their puppet, and they will pay well for it. At that point, this person no longer serves you, because in order to get reelected, he has to find excuses why Big Pharma is going to win all the time. He has to find excuses why that military-industrial complex is going to win all the time. He has to find excuses why, and this is what you hear from your Republican elected officials. This is what you hear from the Uniparty. This is what you hear from the RINOs. And if you think they have a major majority, you're wrong. So if a few of them go south, what happens? All this, or most of it anyway, is what the Republican Party has promised to deliver us from, get us away from. The question is, because, you know, for how many years now it's been controlled by the Democrats. Okay, they promised if we elected them, if we put them in a majority in one house or the other, which they are a majority, it's the majority, but a majority in the House, they will take care of this for us. I want to know when, and I want to know how. Because what we are seeing now is not what far too many of us were told to expect. And when you consider the RINOs and the Uniparty, the GOP already had a slim margin. That's all they had, a slim margin. Progress back to freedom and liberty seems to be a path strewn with pits and mines. How many times have you seen a vote go against the conservative faction because of one or two Republicans that decided my constituents may not reelect me if I do this, which is an absolute lie? That's the excuse they use. If you're a conservative and you're voting with your Democratic mates or fellows or ladies in Congress, can you explain that to me?
Do you mind if I add something here? Yeah, before 15 years ago, I did drink the red Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And I did pay attention a little bit, and I would see news. I would see reports where, you know, so-and-so, the Republicans, whether it be John McCain and Mitt Romney and probably a few others.
Rhinos.
Yep. Rhinos, yeah. It goes. Well, the Democrats couldn't get this passed through, but a few Republicans on the other side, they reached across to a few Republicans, and, you know, that's when I started hearing the word rhino, like you used, and it's always been that way for the Democrats, too.
Yes, it has.
I've always thought for the last 15 years, you know, well, I think it was Jesse Ventura, former professional wrestler, WWE wrestler, yep, and former current Minnesota politician. Governor. Yeah, he said politics is like the WWE. They're bickering back and forth when the cameras are on, but when they're in their back room smoky deals, or in the bar or whatever, drinking with each other, they're all buddy, and they're all on the same page.
No, I totally agree. And thank you for putting that in, and I do appreciate it, because it's going to help to round out the article I'm going to bring up here. And yes, I did bring up an article. But let me get through the last couple of bits I would like to put out from my opening comments, all right? Today, America is the laughingstock of the world. Now, for all of you out there asking, how do you even know that, Roger? Well, how can you even say that? Most of you know that I spent well over 30 years traveling this planet for a living, that I still have friends and connections across the planet, that the Liberty Beacon Project, which I founded and helped to build over the last dozen years, has a website in Australia, has a website in France, has a website in England. Yeah, and several websites in the United States and a social media website. How do I know? Because I know. I talk to these people on a regular basis. 10 minutes before I started this show, I was talking to somebody in England who works with this project. So do I know? Yeah, I do know. Today, America is the laughingstock of the world. This is a fact, people. Chaos is increasing at an exponential rate, and I can't help that believe that it's all planned. It's all choreographed with the elite's perfect compromise puppet sitting in the White House committing treason and tyranny against us all. Why? Because they got him dead too. They have proof of his what? His transgressions. Proof of his tyranny. Proof of his treason. And with that, they control this guy down to the... When they say jump, Joe Bob doesn't say how high. Joe Bob says, when can I come down, please? Now, if you stop and take a look at all the other people that he appointed when he came into office, like an executive does, like the president does, take a look at these and look at their history and wonder how many of these are compromised as well, which is why they were put into the positions they are. Do we have a DOJ that's doing what it's supposed to? Hell no. Do we have an FBI that's doing what it's supposed to? Hell no. Do we have a CDC that's doing what it's supposed to? Hell no. Do we have an FDA that's doing what it's supposed to? Hell no. But they were all doing what they were supposed to or damn close to it 4 to 5 years ago. If you don't think that everything isn't culminating in taking America to her knees, how many times have you heard me say, if you wish global governance, you must first take the cowboys of the world to their knees? Gee, do you think they're succeeding, people? How many of you are on the streets pushing back? I'll tell you what, we need to dive a little bit deeper, okay, into what I feel is a great article that I picked to help me with this presentation. And the title of his article, and this is from Rick Fuentes, and the title of his article is Congress on a Hamster Wheel. Now, imagine what I just said, Congress on a hamster wheel. They always look like they're running forward, but they never seem to get anywhere. So if you take a second to think about the title, it actually makes sense. Notwithstanding the messy intermezzo over the House speakership, Republican congressional chairs James Comer, Jason Smith, and Jim Jordan have used their committees to triangulate a cogent case of rampant political corruption and grift by the Biden family going back at least through his two terms as vice president. Kickbacks for foreign government favors were funneled through a labyrinth of shell companies licensed for ill purposes with related communications among family members, business associations, and the vice president facilitated by more than 5,000 emails masked by several aliases, which they now have. Biden family wealth grew rapidly once Joe Bob went retail, satisfying quid pro quos that affected and effected foreign policy while shielding and protecting the ongoing criminal conspiracy. That's what it is, people. The liability of this scheme was to entrust these shakedowns to a drug-addicted, honey-potted son who spent more time out of his pants than he did in them. Gee, would anybody guess I was talking about Hunter? I'll bet you all did. Our global adversaries an expanding axis spearheaded by Russia and China, now hold a grub stake in the Biden foreign policy garage sale. What was I talking about in my entry notes? Because that's his comment. What was I saying? I was saying this guy is so damn compromised, and we're wondering why America is bowing down. Okay, let me continue with his article. This pay-to-play scheme runs counter to America's economic and national security interests and cozies up to countries far more likely to be confronted on the battlefield than at Tony World Forums and Beltway cocktail parties. There is no reasonable balance that can be struck. Given the severity and national security impact of these serial crimes, which is exactly what they are, to any of the gaslit conservatives, straw allegations, indictments, and rushed impeachments put upon Donald Trump before, during, and after his presidency. Now, I don't care out there who of you like Donald Trump. This is not about Donald Trump. I'm not here to brag about Donald Trump. What I am here to put in your face is a two-tier justice system. We're talking about as many as 100, and some say it could go as high as 400 indictments against Trump prior to the election, doing anything and everything they can. Not one charge has stuck. They are all absolute bullcrap, but it is being done to absolutely destroy any chances he has of being reelected. Now, how many of you would even think of that? How many of you see this in the same way? How many of you? Yeah. Okay, so our global adversaries, as I said, an expanding axis spearheaded by Russia and China. Both of them have a key to his garage where he keeps his Corvette. Yeah. Okay, so this pay-to-play scheme runs counter to America's economic and national security interests and cozies up to countries far more likely, as I stated, to be confronted on the battlefield. Yeah. Given the severity and national security impact of these crimes, why do we continue to get gaslit about it? Why is it taking so long for anything to come out, yet we have 100 indictments against Trump, of which constantly, day after day, they are in court and not one single charge has stuck? Yet we have provable charges far beyond anything you could ever accuse Trump of, and we have a whole basket full of them in the Biden camp. And we don't even have one serious indictment yet. This, to me, is absolute crap. And part of the reason why it's being walked so slow is because of, the Uniparty and the RINOs, which are keeping positive actions to a minimum. So while Democrats have, deployed a strategy to prosecute the former president at the drop of a hat, House Republicans are slow walking their process to wring every Biden malpractice from whistleblowers, business associates, bank records, emails, subpoenaed witnesses. Kevin McCarthy capitulated to a push from the Freedom Caucus to open an impeachment inquiry, although it did not reduce the personal animosity of those who sent him back to the well of the House. He still got kicked down. His successor, Mike Johnson, elevated after another three-week interlude of legislative paralysis, appears hesitant to bring a vote that would force a commitment from at least 18 Republican moderates hailing from Biden-leaning districts. So how many of these Republicans will vote Democrat because they want to get reelected? And in the process, throw America into the crapper. House and Senate Republicans, all right? Well, actually, I'll tell you what. Let me hold off on that until after we get back from the break. You got anything you want to put in here? Because it's not going to get easier after the break, Steve.
No, we can let you breathe for 60 seconds.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Okay, so when we left, we were talking about 18 Republicans, moderates, basically, that hail from Biden-leaning districts, and how will they vote when it comes down to impeachment, when it comes down to removing somebody who's sitting in the White House, and then it still has to go to the Senate, doesn't it? And, yeah, they don't have a majority in the Senate. So, again, here we go. But let's move on. House and Senate Republicans, big wigs, in other words, those who basically run these parties, appear reluctant to hold firm the ramparts of their own party or advance an effective ground game to win elections. And this is exactly what's becoming more and more apparent. How many of them are actually bought and paid for? And you can say whatever you want. It's what you do that either will back you in your next election or we won't. So between episodes of suspended animation, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has been reluctant to fund the campaign of grassroots candidates and Trump populists. In other words, if you're a grassroots Republican or you're a Trump populist, then Mitch McConnell is probably not going to give you any money from the Republican coffers to run your election. Again, what the hell are we talking about here, people? The danger of McConnell's misstate of mind is that his hatred of Trump will metastasize the block, or to block the races of solid conservative candidates in swing states. He's doing more damage than he knows, or he's one of those rhinos, or he's one of the big dogs in the uniparty. How much is he getting paid to do that? Anybody who knows much about Mitch McConnell knows he's not a popular individual, knows that there aren't a whole lot of people in Congress that even like this guy, knows that he is always stepping up to say something that should never have come out of his mouth, but yet he continually gets reelected over and over again. Who is he working for? And if you're thinking it's you, you're a moron. In 2017, House Speaker Paul Ryan did everything he could to sabotage the Trump agenda, giving momentum to the Democrats and the gavel to Nancy Pelosi. Ryan left office in 2018 to lambast Trump populism. In other words, people who will vote for Trump, people who believe in Trump, from the sidelines. And he did. Ryan just absolutely did the best to lambast Trump he could. Making a fresh start on the Fox News board of directors to drive an ideological wedge between Trump and the network, which he succeeded in doing, and to shape a contemporary brand of television, no neoconservatism. Well, I would say especially for neoconservatism, slowly drifting into the lane of the Democrats. And this is exactly what we are seeing. Given the fractions or the, I don't know. Look, this is 118th Congress, okay? And it's now on track to underperform and I really didn't even know how to get into this, at levels not seen in over 50 years. We're talking about seriously underperforming any other Congress in over 50 years. Absent the lifeline of a Democrat tripartite during Pelosi's leadership, where they controlled the House, the Senate, and the presidency, only 21 bills have been enacted into law in the first session of the 118th Congress, compared to 85 in the previous session. So what we are seeing is a lot of the people's business isn't getting done, or are less bills being passed because they don't meet the requirements of those who run America. And no, I'm not talking about you and me. Okay? So again, we're talking about the slowest and the lowest amount of progress and work out of Congress in over 50 years. Many of the bills that were passed, of the 21 bills that were passed, are symbolic and procedural, of little consequence to an economically depressed country adrift in a dangerous world. In mid-November, Americans can expect another shutdown, slowdown, with Democrats pointing fingers while Republican caucuses lock horns. I'm not sure there's going to be a shutdown, but what I am telling you is that if there is a shutdown, it will be because of either the Uniparty or because of the RINOs. And this continues to be a growing issue. The closer we get to America going to her knees, and each and every thing I've discussed here so far is a feather in that cap, the closer we get to America going to its knees, the more you're going to see the failure of our leadership in Washington, because that will be their job, to fail. And they're well on the way to it as we speak. The 2020 electoral makeup or makeover that threw the election for Biden hasn't changed people. Voting rights activists will continue to have the wind at their backs in 2024. And the Democrat lawfare against state attempts to improve election integrity have turned the tables on the Republicans by alleging election interference and racism by disparate impact. In other words, now they're blaming the Republicans for election interference and racism. This was a Democrat issue all the way up until that point. In 9 states, ballots are still sent to, listen to me, everyone, regardless of need, request, or a pulse. Even if you're dead, they're going to mail it to your last address. It bodes poorly for America's salvation that 2/3 of Democrats and half of Republicans have indicated a strong likelihood that they will vote by mail rather than drag themselves to a polling station. In other words, we will do everything we can as Democrats to stack this election, because we know damn right well, whether you like this or not, everybody listening to this, the popularity of Trump far outstrips anything Biden could possibly come up with. The battle cry to count every vote is still a call to arms for digging up trenches of uncounted ballots in the wee hours, the days after the polls have closed, culminating in a sudden reversal of political fortune that seems to always favor Democrats. We've seen movies of how many ballots being pulled out from under desks or out of boxes that were in a corner of a room after everybody has been sent home at the end of the day. Again, everything I talk to you about, none of this is a guess. But who the hell besides someone like me sits down and puts all of those pieces in the same place and say, this is connected to this, is connected to this, is connected to this? No. But you will find a lot of what I call soft-shelled Republicans out there telling you about the evils of this. And then the next time, the evils of this. And then the next time, the evils of this. If you haven't taken the time or you haven't got the brains to connect those three together, then you haven't got the big picture, which is a million times worse than any one of those three individual actions. Is that right, Steve? Oh, he may be getting a drink. In which case, let me continue. Drop boxes. We all remember the drop boxes, the dumpster of choice for illegal ballot deposits. 2,000 mules. It's not a joke video. It's a fact video. And it takes this to the next level with proof. So drop boxes, the dumpster of choice for illegal ballot deposits by political operatives called mules, continue to be utilized in at least 32 states. With little to no federal prosecutions for known offenders. Although in receipt of credible whistleblower and video evidence, the FBI has downplayed or contested egregious incidents of hundreds of thousands of ballots crossing state lines and unmonitored after hours ballot counting. Listen to me again. Although in receipt of credible whistleblower and video evidence, I just told you about that, the FBI has downplayed or contested egregious incidents of hundreds of thousands of ballots crossing state lines. Can't do that. And unmonitored after hours ballot counting. In other words, nobody's supposed to be there. Nobody's supposed to be counting ballots. It's after hours. But the video shows them counting ballots. And this is all being done at the polling stations. A 3-year investigation undertaken by the Postal Service recently proved the FBI wrong in one case. However, no further action has been taken on anything. So in other words, if you are cheating for the Democrats, nothing will ever happen to you. If you are cheating for the Republicans, you're going to jail for a very long time. This is the country you live in today, okay? State voting rolls are still bloated. And again, how many of these will be illegals now? The risk of a blue tidal wave of illegal immigrant voters also poses a clear and present danger to the Republican Party. 18 states under Democrat rule are and comprising almost half of the nation's population in these 18 states, issue driver's license to illegals, either without evidence of lawful presence or by displaying other cursory identifications or residential information such as pay slips, rental agreements, or utility bills. For that, they get a driver's license. Now, if you're an American and you try that, you can't do it. But if you're a foreign national and you try that, they're going to give you one. This is fulfilling these requirements. They are automatically being registered to vote. You got a driver's license, you can vote. But it's illegal as hell, but you can still vote. Those same registration rolls are used by 9 blue states, 6 of 10 declared sanctuaries, to universally mail ballots by default to the address provided on the license, likely to include immigrant charity organizations, churches, or other nonprofits that have allowed illegals to use their addresses as a pass-through for state and federal cash benefits. So in other words, we haven't got a clue how many, nor do we have anything in place to stymie the fact that a massive amount very well may vote in our elections. And we're talking about illegals. And we know there are tens of millions of them in America. I'm not joking. How much of that makes sense to everybody? Even as illegal immigration continues to transform America from a melting pot into a chamber pot, and the working class suffers through an inflationary economy, rampant crime, spreading wars, and the dizzyum of authoritarianism, of climate control, the Biden campaign seems unconcerned about the 2024 election. They're like, hey, we're going to win it. No problem. And Biden is probably the most unpopular president in the history, modern history of America. Biden recently snubbed the New Hampshire primary, a move that foretells his 2024 basement strategy using his infrequent take-no-questions and scripted press conferences as campaign events with a focus on MAGA extremism and abortion and refusing to debate with Donald Trump by putting a spotlight on his indictments and gaslighting him as a threat to democracy. Listen to me, people. How many presidents that could be indicted, especially people like Obama, especially people like Joe Biden, have not been? How many of them could be indicted for things 10 times worse and maybe 10 times more than Trump? Well, Obama wasn't. Well, Biden wasn't. And again, aren't they both Democrats? Why is the Republican, the conservative presidential candidate being smashed under a sledgehammer while the two most guilty presidents we could ever imagine on this entire scenario are walking free?
Hey, Roger.
And yes.
Have you heard recently that Trump has called Obama president at least two or three times here lately?
President Obama?
Yeah. No, he said Obama, the president, Obama. He didn't say nothing about Biden.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm kind of glad you stuck that in there because I will say something about that. There are so many people out there who firmly believe that the person running the White House today is Barack Obama and that Joe Bob didn't have the wherewithal or the mental capacity, and we all know that, it's quite obvious, to do the job.
Or,
so, go ahead.
Or he wasn't even alive.
Maybe. but the whole point here is Obama has been the talking – well, Biden's the talking head, but Obama has been the president behind the scenes. And it's not just you bringing things up that lead us to believe that. It's not just me having done a little research and figuring that. There are a lot of people out there, Steve, that are saying that Obama is who's running the Oval Office. And you also have to understand, with 8 years of Joe Bob as his vice president, he developed that type of a I'm the boss, you're my puppet relationship with Joe Bob as well. Steve?
Yes, sir. I was typing a message into a chat there, but yes.
Okay. All right. Well, let me get through this here. I do have a little bit left to go through, and then we can open this up for you and I having a short discussion. Okay. As the Democrats plot out a series of censorious trials and a partisan media offensive calculated to cripple the 2024 Trump presidency, McConnell persists in his belief that a Biden impeachment will be bad for the country. His reluctance to put the Democrats, on the docket, surrendering to Schumer on government shutdown negotiations and hawkish efforts against curbing Ukraine spending, as all but absorbed, but absurd, excuse me, the 118th Congress, another session of gridlock and immobility. It's not going to get anything done. Again, we are already seeing the least productive session of Congress in over 50 years. And what they're expecting here with that last little blurb he put out is that it may be even worse coming forward. And if that's the case, who the hell is governing America? And is that the way it's supposed to be? Republicans are ready to pop the corks over several polls that predict a Trump sweep of battleground states in 2024. There are a lot of Republicans out there that figured it's a shoe-in. Democrat pundits are lying in wait, keeping their chips on Joe Biden and knowing that any of the 91 existing indictments that bring a conviction will chip away at Trump's lead. One can only hope for the future of our country that Republican voters, energized by lofty expectations, are not treated to another race to second place. What we're looking at today, people, is our founders never intended for those who go to Congress, for those who go to the Senate, for even our presidents, for this to be a career. It was never intended to be. You were supposed to go to Congress to represent your people and then go home and run your farm or your business or whatever. They were not meant to be careers. Our founders understood that the longer somebody sits in power, they gain a little bit of power, a little bit more each year. And if you're there for 20 or 30 years, you end up like Nancy Pelosi. You end up like Chuck Schumer. You end up like, yes, and these are not good things. Not for people like you and I. So when we talk about looking at what is being provided for us by those we elect, when somebody has been 3 terms or more in Congress or 2 terms or more in the Senate, you don't own them anymore. They are now owned by special interest. They are now owned by AIPAC. They are now owned by Big Pharma. They are now owned by, because they have gotten used to this. They have gotten used to acquiring power and gaining more. Not much, but a little bit more each year. And what you see is that the more they have to worry about their future, whether they're going to get continually elected, whether they're going to get, they came into Congress with $50,000 in the bank. Nancy Pelosi went out with what? Over $100 million? Stop and think about this, people. It was never intended for these people to be career politicians. And I damn right well think it's about time we put term limits on all of them again. Is this a bad idea, Steve?
No, sir. I think,
go ahead.
I think, well, myself, if I had the money to, I would set up a network that would just concentrate on what they do every single day of the week.
Yeah.
And try to get it on there's Roku and stuff like that.
Yeah, there is. And again, something good, but most people are way too lazy to spend much time watching that because they would figure it was boring or lazy. It's someone like you and I that would watch it, but we probably can watch it anyway. Do I agree more people should be aware of it? Yes. My biggest point here is that anybody in Congress, okay, who has been there 10 to 12 years, okay, is now a permanent part. This is what they do for a living. This is their income. This is how they're going to retire with millions of dollars in the bank, even though their income from Congress is nowhere near that. These are the people who have made up their mind that they're going to continue to represent you until they can't do it anymore. The only problem with that is now that the money has come in, now that the elites come in to tell them which way to go and how to get there, they no longer serve you. And I would tell you that of all the hundreds of people that sit on the Hill right now, supposedly representing you, I would guess that less than 20% of them actually represent you. Is that a good number, Steve?
Yeah.
Yes, and that 20% is the newest ones in there because they haven't either been, you know, they haven't lost their first election. They got elected and they lose, and a lot of them do that. But they haven't lost their first election, or they haven't been there long enough to be bought yet.
Yep. Well, you know, I'm of the impression that they are on the inside when they get before they get in. That's why they're put up. That's why they're propped up.
There are some good politicians out there who actually do have their constituents at heart. There are. And I'm not going to go through a list of them, but I do know a couple of Democrats and a couple more Republicans that could probably fit on that list. But when you're talking about, what, over 300 people in Congress, and when you're talking about 100 people, over 100 people in the Senate, when you're talking about like 300 or 400 people, and I'm telling you there's 3 or 4 people or maybe 5 that I could mention that actually work for their constituents, that's pretty pathetic, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah. I think at the beginning of the 20th century, the joke was that you couldn't buy any politicians because David Rockefeller owned them all. Or, not David, John.
John Rockefeller, yeah. Well, yeah, and I would tend to believe that. I would. And the thing of it is, most people don't understand that everybody who goes to Congress isn't always a virgin. And by that, I mean they haven't already given in to corruption or haven't already been bribed. There are those who are approached and asked to run for Congress and told that they will have everything they need and pretty much guaranteed like 99.99% that they were going to win. And these are the individuals that are handpicked by those who own and run America. One of these days, Stephen, you and I are going to do a show on the Act of 1871.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yep.
And that is something everybody needs to know more about, because what it tells you is that a massive amount of what you think and what you're taught in schools today is a big lie. Have I got that right, Steve?
Yes, sir.
And yes, I am a firm believer in all of that, and I have done some research, so that's a good show for you and me, and I think we could just absolutely annihilate that topic.
Yep.
All right, anything you've got to say, because I think we've got like 3.5 minutes left, so is there anything you'd like to put in at this point? I did cover a lot, and basically what I told everybody today is, if you think that Roger is a Republican, you're wrong. If you think that Roger is a Democrat, you're wrong. If you think Roger is an independent, you're wrong. What is Roger? Roger's Roger. And what am I going to do? I'm going to do what makes my conscience work. I'm going to do what my knowledge tells me. I'm going to do what I should do as an American. This is what I'm going to do. And if I have to have a title, or if I have to have an organization pin or something when I walk in, I will vote Republican. Because if I don't vote Republican, I can't vote anything else, can I, Steve? I definitely can't vote Democrat. I'm not putting Joe Bob. I'm not going to say, hey, Joe Bob won again, and I helped.
Well, you know, I decided 15 years ago. I haven't voted since 2008. And, you know, I said, I got tired of telling myself, well, I'm just voting for the lesser of two evils, because you're still voting for
evil. That's exactly what you were doing.
You're still voting for evil.
And the thing of it is, most people think that I'm a Trump lover. I'm not. It's just a Trump. Here we go. Exactly what you said is a whole lot less evil than what's around him. But anybody here who thinks that I'm a huge Trump fan and I kiss his butt on Broadway and let him sell tickets? No. This guy declared bankruptcy twice. Guess who bailed him out? The Rothschilds. Is he squeaky clean? No. But if somebody has to sit in the White House, we've already seen what he has done for America. I'd much rather have him there than Biden. But if I could have my druthers, I'd have neither of them there. I'd probably ask Steve if he'd run for president.
Well, you know, I don't need a master. I'm not a slave, so.
You don't need a master. Do you need a baiter?
Yeah. Hey.
Never mind.
Okay.
So let me wrap this all up with this. Okay. Today's discussion was about anybody out there who thinks that the Republicans are the savior and they're going to do everything right, everything you need, just kiss their button. That's the way it's going to go. I'm going to tell you right here and now. Don't believe that. Okay. Are they going to give you more than the Democrats are? Yes, they are. And why? That may be part of the game. But anybody here who thinks that you can trust the Republicans blindly because the Democrats are in it for themselves, you're making as big a mistake as any other idiot out there. What we need to do is hold our elected representatives. We need to hold them accountable. And what we also need to do is go back to a you only get to go to Washington twice. And then you can't run anymore. Term limits. And I'll leave it at that. Term limits would go a long way towards helping America back to a point where we control our government. That's not all it will take, but it's a good start. Have I got that right, Steve?
Yes, sir. All the world is a stage, and we are all but actors upon this play.
I totally agree, and some of us are better actors than others.
All right, folks. Until next week.